Shoshim Yom Kodem Achav. 30 days before Pesach, the halacha is we're supposed to begin learning Hilchos Pesach. Says the Beis Yosef, the reason for that is that the halachos of Pesach are so enormous and so multifaceted, one cannot adequately prepare for Pesach unless one does so a full 30 days beforehand. Included in that is the night of the Seder. There's so many rituals, so many mitzvot that we do, and one can sit down at the Seder, feel the chayrus, and appreciate what it means to be free. But to really understand the Seder, it's important to review the halachos, to comprehend Hacha b'mayas kinan. What are we talking about? What are we doing? We're going to tour the Seder from Kadesh till Nirtza, discussing some of the lesser known halachos of each of the simanim, each of the beautiful facets of the Seder. We begin with Kadesh. Source number one, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Kuf Hei Amud Beis. What beverage must one use for the night of the Seder, for the four kosos? Grape juice? Only wine? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, grape juice is not suitable for the Seder night. Although you may make Kiddush on grape juice any other time of the year, on the night of the Seder, we specifically need to use wine. Says Rav Moshe, it seems to be a Gemara. The Gemara tells us, in Source 1, that in the olden days, wine was very diluted. Wine was very concentrated. And the only way to drink wine properly was to dilute it with water. Says the Gemara, Shasan Chai, if I drink my wine and I don't dilute it with water. Amar Rava, Rava says, Yidei Cheirus lo yatsa. The requirement of being a free man, savoring the freedom of the night of the Seder, is not fulfilled. Technically it's wine, but if I drink it without being diluted, it's missing something. Feltepis. It's not appropriate to be Yosei the night of the Seder when we celebrate the freedom that we have with a second-class beverage. And therefore, a person will not be Yosei. Says Rav Moshe, if you need a first-rate beverage, not only is concentrated wine not valid, but similarly, grape juice is not valid as well. We know that wine is much more important, much more significant, much better than grape juice. And therefore, although grape juice is not caustic, like concentrated wine is, one cannot fulfill his or her requirements on the night of the Seder with grape juice. Rav Moshe is reported to have proven his statement from a Gemara in the Yerushalmi. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi in Source 2, look at the Mesiras Nefesh, the tremendous dedication that the holy Tanoim and Amorayim had to fulfill the mitzvos of the night of the Seder. Rabbi Yonah, says Source 2, Shasi, he drank Arbati Kosi, Delele Pischa. He drank the abakosos, the four cups of the Seder night. The Chazik Reshe, his head heard him, Ad Atzarta, until Atzeres. When's Atzeres? Until Shavuos. From Pesach until Shavuos, he had headaches. 7 weeks of headaches, just to drink wine on the night of the Seder. Says Rav Moshe, if it's permissible to use grape juice, why did Rabbi Yonah have to drink wine? Had the alcohol give him 7 weeks of headaches? Don't bother enduring headaches. Just drink grape juice. It seems, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that grape juice is not valid. It's not good enough to substitute grape juice for wine. However, Rabbi Menachem Ganak, the CEO of OU Kosher, and one of the foremost students of Rabbi Soloveitchik, quotes that Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested a person may use grape juice for the Dalet Kosos. What about Rav Moshe's proof from the Yerushalmi? Says Rabbi Ganak, he did research. He asked Mr. Feivish Herzog, the president of Kedem Wine Company, And he told him that in Jewish history, until very recently, it was impossible to have grape juice. We now have advanced methods of pasteurization. We can preserve grape juice for months, even years. But in the olden days, before these were invented, grape juice simply didn't exist for more than a few weeks. Think about it. When is the harvest in Eretz Israel? We know we have Sukkot. Sukkot is Chag HaAsif, the time that things are harvested. So presumably the grapes were harvested somewhere around Sukkot. They were pressed in a wine press. They made grape juice. It was around for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And slowly it began to turn into one of two things. Either it turned into wine, or, if not preserved properly, it turned into vinegar. But by the time Pesach came around, there was no grape juice in existence. There was wine, and there was vinegar. So Rabbi Yonah couldn't have used grape juice, because it simply did not exist. And therefore, says Rabbi Ginnack, according to the information he got from Mr. Herzog, there seems to be no proof from the Yerushalmi as to whether one may or may not use grape juice in contemporary times on the night of the Seder. In fact, in the opinion of Rabbi Soloveitchik, for the Dalet Kosos, it might be preferable to use specifically grape juice, because the Rambam in Source 3 tells us, Arba'a Kosos Eilu, these four cups, Sarach Limzog Osan, you need to mix them with water, again, because it used to be that wine was concentrated. But the Rambam explains why. Kedei shetiye shtia areva. It should be a pleasant drink. You should enjoy it. Says the Rambam, it's not enough to technically drink a wine beverage on the night of the Seder. We must enjoy it. If we must enjoy it, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you're a person that prefers grape juice to wine, it's better to have grape juice because you enjoy it more. And the Rambam continues, Hako with the yayayim, everything based upon the context of what wine you're using, ulfi das hashose, and the opinion of the person who's drinking it. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's better to use grape juice rather than wine. Halacha maisa machokas, may one use grape juice lechatchila or only b'diavad. How much should a person drink? So we know the halacha tells us that all across the board, whenever a person drinks, the shear, the amount, for brain of fashos, for alad yefen, for kiddush, for abrikosos, it's a uniform shear, the shear we call a revius. Revius means a quarter. A quarter of what? Says the Gemara, revius really is shorthand for revius, a quarter of a lug, a quarter of another measurement. In source 4, revius equals a quarter of a lug. A lug, we know, based upon equations in the Gemara, is 6 beitzim, 6 eggs. For our intents and purposes, average size eggs. It's interesting, because of a quirk in the nomenclature used by the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, average size medium eggs are called large. They're larger than small eggs, and they're smaller than very large eggs, so they're called large. But large eggs really are medium-sized average eggs. A revius is a quarter of 6 eggs. A lug is 6 eggs. So a revius is a quarter of 6 eggs. What's a quarter of 6? 1.5. Revius, then, is equivalent to 1.5 eggs. Revius of lug. Lug is 6 eggs. Revius is a quarter of 6 eggs, which is 1.5 eggs. What is the water displacement? What's the volume that an egg represents? According to the USDA, the average incredible edible egg is 1.87 fluid ounces. Doing the math, if one egg is 1.87 fluid ounces, 1.5 eggs, 1.5 eggs, is, at the end of source 4, 2.81 fluid ounces. That's it. Very small. We usually use gargantuan cups for Kiddush or for the night of the Seder. That might be okay for Eliyahu Navi. But especially if a person has a problem drinking wine, it's better to use a small cup, because the bare minimum that one needs is only 2.81 fluid ounces. Orchatz. We wash our hands. Why do we wash our hands? In halakha, we have several different categories of tumah. The three that are pertinent for our intents and purposes are rishon, a first level, sheni, a second level, and shlishi, a third level. Anyone and anything can become a rishon. People, chairs, tables, desks, food, drink, can all become a first level of tumah. However, only ochen u'mashkin, foods and beverages, can become a sheni u'tumah, a second level. The third level of tumah, a shlishi, is reserved only for truma, or for tadshim, for truma, the tithes taken for the kohen, or tadshim, the holy foods used in the Beis HaMikdash. Keeping that in mind, Chazal told us that every person's hands are considered a sheni. Automatically, my hands, even if I think they're clean, are rabbinically, as a chumrah, as a stringency, given the status of a sheni l'tumah, a second level of impurity. Which means, if my hands touch the average food, they're not going to affect it. But if my hands touch truma, or kachim, since my hands are automatically a second level of tumah, they're going to give the truma, or the kachim, tumah. They're going to make the truma a third level of tumah, or the kachim, a third level of tumah. So Chazal said, if you ever eat truma, you need to wash your hands with Netilas Yadayim first. That removes the second level of tumah, and therefore the truma, the teruma will not become tumah. However, Chazal made another chumrah. Chazal said, if anything touches a beverage, it makes the beverage into a first level of tumah. That is, even if my hands, which are a second level of tumah, usually in tumah things go down. A first to make a second to make a third. But Chazal said there's a special legal fiction. My hands, which are a second level of tumah, if they touch a beverage, make the beverage into a first level of tumah. Now we have a problem. If my hands touch a regular piece of bread, which is not truma, the regular piece of bread is totally tahar. Nothing happens. But if my hands touch a wet piece of bread, my hands are sheni, level 2, touches the water, water becomes a rishon, and the water touches the bread now is a sheni again. So even though the food itself is not truma, it's not kachim, the food will become tameh, hands 2, beverage 1, food 2 again. So Chazal said, if I'm going to have wet celery, wet parsley, wet apple, wet piece of orange, I must wash my hands, because my hands are a sheni. It'll make the beverage on the food into a rishon, and then it'll make the actual food into a sheni, which is tameh, halakhically problematic. Although most of the time we're makel, we don't usually wash our hands in many circles for a freshly washed apple. The strict halacha, as conveyed by the Shulchan Aruch in source 6, is davar shetibulo, something dipped be'echad mishuv amashtin, in one of the 7 beverages, tzarech netila, requires one to wash his or her hands. So the halacha is, the Rishonim write, quote in the Shulchan Aruch, even though the rest of the year we're not makbid on that, we say we can eat a washed apple without washing our hands. On the night of the Seder, we're machmir. We're b'nei chorin. Part of the cheirus is that we try to take every chumrah we can, and therefore on the night of the Seder, we wash our hands, even for dipped vegetables that we would not wash our hands for the rest of the year. Manashtana alayu hazeh. How different this night is than the rest of the year. Since we're going to dip for karpas, we wash our hands as a prerequisite. In fact, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal is quoted as having said, that's why we know we wash our hands twice on the night of the Seder. Once for chatz, then once for matzah. The reason we talk about rachza later on, which means wash, and orchatz, which is an imperative, wash, emphatically stated, is that to wash your hands for matzah, for bread, is something we do the whole year. But we need chizuk, the night of the Seder, or chatz. Make sure to wash. since we don't usually do it. Or chatz, make sure to wash. Then we move to the next page. We move to Karpas, Surah 7. Why do we dip? The Rishonim and Achronim give us two reasons for dipping. The Torah in Surah 7 says, Shinui b'shul tinokos sheyeshuvu. In reality, the point of dipping is to do something different. In theory, I could have put karpas on my head to make the kids ask, Abba, why are you doing that? But instead, the accepted practice is to dip something that we don't usually dip. Shinui, to change. However, the Bach, Source 8, disagrees. Says the Bach, the reason we dip is derech cheirus. We dip to show that we're free. Free people lean back, they enjoy, they dip at leisure. We show our leisure manner of eating, our leisurely manner of eating, and therefore we dip. How do we paskin? It seems that we paskin like the tour. Because the halacha usually is, although it's not clear cut, most things done for cheirus, most things done to show our leisure and our approach to being free, are done behesebe with leaning. Yet the common practice is not to lean for karpas. It would seem then, that the halacha is that we follow the opinion of the tur as opposed to the bach. We are leaning to show that we're free men, rather than leaning to show that we want to make a difference for the kids, rather than demonstrating our being free. We then break the middle matzah, yachatz. Why? There are two different approaches the Gemara tells us to matzah. The first, in the Gemara Pesachim, verse 9, Amar Shmuel, says Shmuel, we call matzah lechem oni. Lechem of ayin, nud, nun, yud, oni. What does oni mean? Says the Gemara, the first pshat is lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe, the bread that we answer, we talk about a lot of things on. The matzah sits there, and Rashi explains. We say the Haggadah, we say Hallel. The entire seder centers around the matzah. Lechem oni. However, the Gemara continues with the new pshat. Says the Gemara, davar acher. Another pshat is, lechem oni, bread of affliction. What does that mean? Oni psiv. It says, ayin nun yud, a poor man, a pauper. Ma oni shadarka b'prusa. Just like an oni, a poor man normally eats spits and pieces. He has a strap here, a strap there. He'll never eat a whole matzah. He'll put some away for later. Two different natures to matzah. The first, it's the centerpiece of the Seder. The second, it's a reminder of our affliction, lechem oni. We break the matzah, it seems, for the second reason, lechem oni. Shulchan Aruch tells us, ma oni darkei b'prusa. The oni breaks his bread, he doesn't eat a full piece of bread. Therefore, says the Beis Yosef in Source 10, from the Talbo, one of the late Rishonim, Kasava Talbo, the Talbo tells us, haminag, L'chalka, kodem shifra Haggadah. The custom is to break it before we read the Haggadah. Why? Kadesh yomer aleho, that we should say on this bread, ha lachma anya. This is the bread of affliction. Minog, to break it. However, the Rinas Yitzchak, one of the Rosh Yeshiva and tells in Chicago, Rav Sarustin suggests, if you put the two Gemaras and Source 9 together, lechem oni, perhaps it's not just the minog, like the Beis Yosef says, but halakhically, we should break the middle matzah. Lechem oni, according to the first pshat, means bread that we say the Haggadah on. According to the second pshat, it's bread of affliction. But how wonderful it would be if we could combine both pshatim. Lechem oni, the bread of affliction, and lechem oni, the bread we say Haggadah on. So have a broken matzah in order to say the Haggadah. It might be that halakhically, not just as a minhag, as the Beis Yosef says, but halakhically, it's better to break the middle matzah in order to say the entire Haggadah, not just the part of ha lachma anya. In point of fact, the Prima Dadim says, what if I only have two matzahs for the night of the Seder? Says the Prima Dadim, I can't sacrifice Lechem Mishnah. Later on, we need to have two full matzos. I can't sacrifice that for having one matzah and a half. So if I only have two, since it's a minhag, as the Kobo says, quoted in the Beis Yosef, I should not break the matzah, because I forgo this minhag of saying ha'lach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, an actual bread of affliction. But says the Minas Yitzchak of Sarasim from Chicago, perhaps, if we understand both Pshatim and the Gemara correctly, we try to hybridize and create lechamoni as bread of affliction, broken bread, that I'm saying about Dada on, it's better to break the middle matzah at the beginning of the Seder, that the whole Haggadah is said on bread of affliction. Magid. The Sefer Chinuch tells us in Source 11, Mitzvahs Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, of telling over the story of the Exodus, Nuhedes B'Zecharim V'Nekevos, applied both men and women equally. Why? The Stipler, the great Gaon, the Kilos Yaakov from B'nai Brach, was perplexed. He asked Rav Yashiv from Yerushalayim in a letter, why is it? Why does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim apply to men and women equally? After all, isn't this a mitzvah aseh shezman rama, a time-related positive commandment? We know that halacha is any time-related positive commandment is not binding on women. Why then does the Sefer Chinuch write the mitzvah applies to both men and women? The Stipler makes his own conjecture. He thinks that pshat is that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a mitzvah in the abstract. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Gemara told us in Source 9, is performed over matzah. Lechem oni. Lechem sh'onim alav dvarim harbe. It's bread that we say a lot on. We say the halal, we say the haradah on matzah. Says the Stipler, the Kilos Yaakov, Rabbi Kanyevsky from B'nai Brak, it's possible that women are not chayavos in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim qua the requirement itself, but that's part of the identity of matzah. Matzah is only true matzah if Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is set on. Therefore, he reasons, that could be the rationale behind the Sefer Chinuch. Women are chayavos, not as far as the Sipur itself, but as far as creating the identity of matzah. Rav Yashiv, though, does not like this approach. And he comes up with his own novel interpretation. Says Rav Yashiv, it's possible. The reason women are chayavos in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is that the first Exodus, the first time we had Yetzias Mitzrayim, was before the Torah was given. And right then we're told, Bidad Tol Vincha, tell over to your children this day of the Exodus forever and ever. If we take that Exodus and preserve it for posterity, both men and women were there. Both men and women were given that commandment. Because the dispensation that women are not chayavos in a mitzvah aseh shezman rama, in any positive time-bound commandment, only happened after the Torah was given. But Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim predates the Torah. Since it was given before the Torah was given, we don't have a dispensation for women. Men and women are both chayavos in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Very sharp. Ruchza. After we finish a long magid, we then wash our hands before the eating of the matzah. What's the reason? Didn't we wash our hands for Rachza? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Source 12, Chayshinan, we're concerned, Shema Hisiach Daito. Maybe a person didn't notice. While a person is so involved in Haggadah, she scratches her head, he goes to the facilities, she ties her shoes, someone touches something unclean. Since we can't guarantee what happened from the period of time before Karpas all the way to the time of Motzi Matzah, it's necessary for a person to wash
his or her hands again. Source 12, Chayshinan Shema Hisiach Dato. For concerns, the person was not totally clear as to what happened the entire time, and therefore the person must wash his or her hands again. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha, authored, of course, by the Mishnah Berurah as well, in Source 13. What if I know? I kept my hands on the table the entire time. I watched every single move my hands made. I did a quick magid. I knew what was going on. There was absolutely no chance that my hands touched anything impure. Should I wash again for rachza with a bracha? Says the Bir Halacha in Source 13, the Hanachon, it's more correct, Shabbat Ofen Zeh, in this context, Yitama Yadav, you should make your hands specifically impure, Kodem HaNatila, before Natila. Scratch your hands, tie your shoes, do something proactive to make your hands impure so you can wash with confidence, Kadesha Yochel Levarek, and then make the bracha as well. The custom is to wash anyway. I don't want to forego the washing, but the bracha is highly questionable. If I do both, I wash my hands, but before that, I know my hands are impure, I can make the bracha with confidence. Motzi. We make the hamotzi on the matzah that we're about to eat. How many matzahs does one make the hamotzi on? The prevalent custom is to use 3 matzahs. We make hamotzi on 1, 2, and the middle matzah, which is broken in the middle. And then we put down the 3rd matzah, the lower one, use that for korech, and make alachilas matzah on the top 2. But it wasn't always so. Says the Rush in Source 14, some said, b'pesach mevarchin al achas uprusa. On Pesach, we make a bracha on 1 matzah and a broken one. We forego Lechem Mishnah. Pesach is so important, says the Rush. Avo shar yom tovim, other yom tovim, but sinan, we make a hamotzi atarti on 2 rifta shlimta, 2 complete loaves. But in the night of Pesach, Lechem Oni, being bread of affliction, is such an important part, such an integral nature, such an integral aspect of the nature of matzah, we must use 1 whole one, because we never broke it, and 1 broken one, in order to have lechem oni, bread of affliction, just like a pauper uses broken scraps of bread. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, as many Haggadahs illustrate in the beginning, presumed that many Rishonim echo this opinion of the quote that the Rush quotes. Many Rishonim say to use only 2 matzahs in the night of the Seder. 1 complete, 1 broken in the middle of the Seder, and make hamotzi on those 2. However, the prevalent custom is based upon the 2nd opinion of the Rush. Says the Rush, v'lo nireh. In Source 14 at the end, it doesn't seem to be true. The Mishnah Pesach. Why is Pesach different? L'inyan lecha Mishnah, regarding the idea of lecha Mishnah, mishar ko yamim tovim. Manashana. Why should this night be different than any other Shabbos in Yontif? Don't we always need lecha Mishnah? So yes, you want to have lechem oni, use 3. Top one is complete, bottom one is complete, middle one is broken, you have the best of both worlds. 2 lecha Mishnah and 1 broken piece. This machlokes, though, still exists nowadays. The prevalent custom, as the Shulchan Aruch says, is to have 3 matzos. The middle one is broken and the other 2 remain whole. But the Vilna Gaon thinks that most Rishonim hold like the first opinion in the Rush. We only use 2 matzos, we forego lechem Mishnah on the night of the Seder. Matzah, Source 15. The Torah tells us, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. We have an imperative to watch the matzos. Chazal tell us that means we watch them to make sure they don't become chametz. But there's a 3-way machlokes, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Source 16, as to how far back in the making of matzah is it necessary to watch it. According to the first opinion, chitim she'osim mehem matzahs mitzvah, the wheat that we make matzah for the night of the Seder out of. Tov l'shamran. We need to watch them. Ideally, the opinion of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be quoting, Mishas, skipping a few words to the bold, Katsira, all the way back from the time they're harvested. That's how far back we have to have Shmura Matzah. And matzah, which is commercially marketed as Shmura Matzah, indeed, was harvested especially for the purpose of making matzah, and watched straight from the time it was wheat that was harvested until the time it was baked, to make sure no chametz happened, to make sure no water came in contact with the chitim. But says the Shulchan Aruch, l'pachos, but the bare minimum is mishas tzuchina, from the time that the matzah is ground. Of course, you can't just have the wheat lying without anyone making sure that no water touched it. You have to have a presumption that no water touched the chita. But if you can safely presume that no water touched the wheat, that's enough. Watch it. We should say it's l'shem matzos mitzvah mishas tzchina. Whereas shmura matzah that's commercially sold, as shmura matzah is already harvested l'shem matzos mitzvah with the express intent of being matzah. The bare minimum is to have matzah, which is watched just in the time it was ground into flour. And says the Shulchan Aruch further, "Wishas adecha, I have no choice. Mutu likach kemach min ashuk." Bare minimum is to buy flour min ashuk from the store. Buy average, normal flour and make it lishma, make it watched for the purpose of matzah at the time that it's needed. We don't have shmura, it's not washed l'shem matzah's mitzvah from harvesting. It's not washed l'shem matzah's mitzvah from the time it's ground. But it's made l'shem matzah's mitzvah from the time it's needed, from the second the flour hits the water. That is the bare minimum b'shas adachak in the case of no choice. Halacha l'maisa, there are two primary categories of matzah that are sold commercially. The first is matzah shmura, which is Shmura Mishas Katsira. It's washed expressly for the purpose of matzah from the time that it's harvested. Then we have what's known as non-Shmura Matzah. But even non-Shmura Matzah is really matzah which is Mishas Tuchina. It's matzah made of grain expressly ground for the purpose of matzah. Think about it. In today's day and age, it's very risky. You can never buy on the commodities exchange flour, make it into matzah, when we are and guarantee that no water ever touched it. It seems in the olden days it was much more simple. But nowadays that everything is processed, we could never know that the matzah is totally free from any water. So even matzah, Streitz, Haaretz Margareten, Dethen, whatever company you buy that's marketed without saying Shmur Matzah, is truthfully Shmur Mishas Tzuchina. It's matzah which was at least ground expressly for the purpose of being used on the night of the Seder. If a person then is in a bind and he or she cannot have Shmur Matzah, it's not so bad to use a regular box of Streitz Shmur Matzah, Haaretz Margareten, Streitz regular matzah, Haaretz Margareten regular matzah, whatever other company, regular matzah, but the evidence is good. It's even better than Min Ashuk. It's even better than the bare minimum of Mishas Lisha from Nidim. It's even Shmura Mishas Tuchina from the time it's ground expressly L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. It happens to be important because many people just buy an average box of matzah for the night of the Seder. They're not familiar with the halakhas of the Seder. And strictly speaking, one can be Yotzei on the night of the Seder Shmura Matzah with that matzah, even though it's not labeled as being Matzah Shmura. Marar. There are two options for marar. Many people use horseradish crane. Others use lettuce. Romaine lettuce or even iceberg lettuce, perhaps. If you use romaine lettuce, it's very easy to have a full shear. Kazayas is not so hard. What about crane? If you use horseradish, it's very hard. Imagine having a kazayas, a full kazayas of marar on the night of the Seder. It seems that it's necessary to have a kazayas. This is a normal alfila. Or as the Rush adds, it's necessary to have a kazayas of marar because we make a bracha al achilas marar.
on the eating of maror. Achila ha'achakli means a chazayis. Yet for many years, the custom was the person running the Seder had a little chrein himself. They have a little piece of chrein, a little piece of horseradish, each person assembled at the Seder. Did people fulfill the mitzvah of achilas maror with such an eating? Bracha of achilas maror is a separate problem. What about the mitzvah itself? Perhaps, it seems, one might be able to kill two birds with one stone. Number one, to fulfill achila with less than a kazayis, and perhaps even make the bracha of al achilas maror, eating maror on less than a kazayis, if you're eating horseradish. Because the Magen Avraham in verse 17 tells us, Yesh rotzen lomar, some want to say, dal yayin saraf, on schnapps, on whiskey, mivarech b'pachos mikazayis. A person makes a bari nefashos, even on a tiny bit. A shot glass is a standard amount of schnapps to drink. That's not a revius, that's not 2.81 fluid ounces. It says the Magen Avraham, which indeed is the opinion of the Taz on Shulchan Aruch, one makes a bari nefashos on a little bit, on a shot of schnapps. Even though the Magen Avraham doesn't like it, what's the rationale for those, such as the Taz, that disagree, that say even on a shot one makes a bari nefashos? In the bold, in Surah 17, Dibapurta miasva daite. With a little bit, a person is satisfied. That's the norm for drinking schnapps. No one drinks 2.81 fluid ounces in one gulp. We have shots. So, although the Magen Avraham disagrees, some say that having one shot, a normal serving of a sharp beverage, schnapps, single malt, perhaps even liqueur, would be enough to make a bari nefashos. According to that, it's possible that for chrein, horseradish, on the night of the Seder, even though if you eat romaine lettuce, you need to have a lot. That's normal. That's the shir achila, a normal shir chazayis. No one eats so much chrein. And if you're using chrein, perhaps a little bit is the norm. It would be enough for the mitzvah of achilas maror, and even enough for the bracha of al achilas maror. It's the normal way of eating chrein for maror. Correct. Source 18, Shulchan Aruch tells us, before saying Karach, in the bold, we take matzah and maror together, take the matzah, karach ha'im ha'maror, we fold it together with the maror, the tovra b'charoses, we dip it in the charoses, the omer, we say, zecher l'mikdash tehillel. So let's follow it carefully. What's the sequence? Bend matzah and maror together, dip in the charoses, and say, zecher l'mikdash tehillel, v'ochman b'yachad. Eat them together. Says the Mishnah Berurah in his Bir Halacha, source 19, kasha. It's a pella. I don't understand it. Hello, amirazu, have a hefsip, bin bracha l'tricha. I make two brachos on the night of the Seder. Al-chilas matzah, al-chilas maror. Ideally, a person should not talk from the bracha of al-chilas matzah until after Korech. So the bracha of al-chilas matzah and al-chilas maror goes not only on the matzah and the maror, but on the matzah and maror combination for Korech. It says the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch seems to be disagreeing. Albeit the fact the Shulchan Aruch himself says not to talk from motzi matzah until after Korech, says the Shulchan Aruch, say, Zecher l'mikdash tehillel. Isn't that a hefsek? Isn't that an interruption between the bracha of motzi matzah, the bracha of maror, and the Korech? Says the Bir Halacha, had he had the power, Gulei d'mistafin, had he not been afraid, he would have said that, believe it or not, it's a mistake from Shulchan Aruch. It should really say, you eat the matzah with the bracha, eat the maror with the bracha, eat the korech, which is eaten as a zeich ha-mikdash. The word v'omer in Shulchan Aruch. Karach ha'im ha-maror v'tavelet, v'tovah b'charoses, v'omer zecher l'mikdash tehillel is incorrect. Rather, it should say in Source 18 Shulchan Aruch, you wrap the matzah and maror together, v'tovah b'charoses, dip in charoses, zecher l'mikdash tehillel. as it was in the days of Hillel. But it should not be that a person actually says Zecher L'Mikdash Hillel, because that's a hefsek. Despite the Mishnah Berurah's question, he doesn't change the text. He says, had he had the ability to do so, he would have thought it's a mistake. But Lamaisa, he doesn't change it, and therefore the prevalent custom is, despite the fact that it seems to contradict the prohibition from talking from Matzah until after Korach, we do say Zecher L'Mikdash Hillel after the Maror is finished, before Korach. Shulchan Aruch says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 20. The Ramah tells us, "V'lo yochal v'lo yishteh harbe yosem midai." Person should be very, very careful after the matzah, after the maror, not to eat that much. "Sh'lo yochal afikomen al afilo dasa." Person should not eat the afikomen one on a full stomach. It has to be pleasantly plump, but not too full. There's two types of afilo dasa in halacha. Afilo dasa number one means afilo, a person really feels full. I'm so full, but I can eat a little bit. And number two is achil dasa, that a person is so full, he's stuffing himself, he really can't eat anything. The first type is considered an achil b'dyeved. But the second type, when a person is so full, he really can't eat, he just does it because pro forma, he must, is halachically not considered an achilah. So it's very important, Shulchan Aruch, to be careful not to eat ideally that much that it's even not achil dasa number one, but certainly not enough that it should be achil dasa number two. Because then, try as one might, it's not considered a valid achila. One does not fulfill the mitzvah of afikomen after Shulchan Aruch whatsoever, if he's so stuffed. Safun, one should eat the afikomen. The Gemara in Source 21 says, the Gemara in Satim, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Achal matzah bezman hazeh. A person who eats matzah in today's day and age, achar chatzos, after midnight, the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, in the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Matzah is connected to Korban Pesach. In Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, the Korban Pesach may only be eaten until chatzos. Says Rava, not only the Korban Pesach, even matzah is connected to Korban Pesach. But what matzah is Rava talking about? Rava is really referring to the original matzah. If a person is out the whole night on Hatzalah Kol, 2 o'clock in the morning and comes back to make the Seder, according to Rava, in the opinion of Rav Ben Azariah, one is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah, al-tilas matzah altogether. Don't make a bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch extends that, which is really a chumrah. Shulchan Aruch says, not only the first matzah, the actual tefillah matzah, but even the matzah we eat after the meal. Afikomen, one should try to eat before chatzos. But it's really a double chumrah. First of all, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion in Source 21 is not accepted by the Chachamim. Chachamim say, Korban Pesach may be ingested the entire night. If Korban Pesach may be ingested the entire night, certainly matzah may be eaten the entire night as well. But even if we accept Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion that matzah must be eaten before chatzos, which matzah is he referring to? The real matzah. Matzah for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Not the matzah for afikomen. Nevertheless, as a chumrah odabi chumrah, we try to be choshish for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion of eating matzah before chatzos. And the chumrah that it applies not only to the original matzah, which is the real intent of the Gemara, but to the matzah of afikomen, we try, if we can, to eat the afikomen before chatzos, to the best of our ability. Barech, Source 22. The Shulchan Aruch tells us something very triptych. Mitzvah lachzor achar hazimun. It's a mitzvah to try to find a zimun. A zimun for benching on the night of the Seder. Shein shalacha. We don't usually have this. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Brachos, Shlosha sh'afu ka'achas, 3 individuals that eat together, chayavim lezami, they must have a zimun. But to look for a zimun specifically? Why? What does that mean? The Mishnah Berurah explains that the Shulchan Aruch seems confusing.
The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean there's a chiyuv to have a zimun, quad zimun. There's no chiyuv on the night of the Seder, more than any other night of the year, to have three people eat together, to bench. Rather, the halacha really is for halal. Halal should ideally be said responsibly. Responsibly means one person says hodu, as we do in shul, and then at least two others answer. One person says ana Hashem, to answer. So the Mishnah Berurah says have a zimun, not mitzad the benching, mitzad the halal. It's appropriate to have at least three people at the Seder in order to count for the three people for halal. Given that reasoning, although a zimun made of mitzvah, men and women doesn't count, you can't have two men and one woman be mezamin together on an average night. If you have two men and a woman, or any other mixture, that would be enough for this Shulchan Aruch. Mitzvah lachzer achar zimun. To have a zimun. Because we're not interested with the technical zimun. You don't need a zimun. Rather, what we need is three people to say halal together responsibly. Halal. The Shulchan Aruch says, 23, the Ramah, Hagah, V'yachtim atzmo, ideally gam halal yikra kodim chatzos. Ideally say halal before chatzos. Why? Says the Vilna Gaon, halal should be said before chatzos because halal is said on the fourth cup. The fourth cup being part of the Seder should ideally be before chatzos as part of the Chumrah, with Afikoman being before chatzos. It's good to even have the fourth cup before chatzos. Not as far as the halal is concerned, but as far as the fourth kos on which the halal was said. However, the Rinas Yitzchak, Rav Sarustin, from tells us, he thinks that based upon Rashi, we should have a new pshat in this Ramah. Why is it we should say halal before chatzos? Earlier we saw that the Gemara tells us the nature of matzah in Source 9, lechem oni is lechem sh'onim lov zvarim harbeh. Bread that we say a lot on. Rashi explains, what does it mean that we say a lot on? Says Rashi, bread that we say, halal and haggadah. Two things, halal and haggadah. Says Rav Sarutzkin, if we saw earlier, in Source 21, that ideally the matzah of Afikomen, and certainly the matzah of the night of the Seder, for Achilas matzah, should be eaten before Chatzos. If Hallel should be said on the matzah, it's not ideal to say Hallel once the matzah no longer exists halachically. Since matzah should be eaten before Chatzos, if I have matzah on the table after Chatzos, it's as if the matzah doesn't exist. So how can I say Lechem Oni, Lechem that I'm saying Hallel and Haggadah on, if halachically the lechem oni disappeared, the halel is not being said properly. And therefore, ideally, the Ramah says, try to say halel on the matzah before chatzos. Nirtza. We look back at the Seder. We ask Hashem to accept our Seder, chasal su de Pesach. We look to the future. Today's that Shomrim Hafgeid L'Ircha, that Hashem will again give us watchmen over the Beis HaMikdash for its prestige, deserving of the special place that it is. It says the Ramban, in perhaps one of the most famous Rambans, his entire parish al Torah, at the end of Parshas Bo, says the Ramban, Pesach is not the end. Pesach is only the beginning. Not just of Jewish history, but of Jewish perspective. Says the Ramban, a person can only be a religious Jew if we believe Shechol Mikreinu, all our happenings, both communally and individually, are miracles. Sometimes they're overt miracles, and sometimes they're covert miracles. It says the Ramban, by internalizing the message of Pesach, that Hashem changed nature to take his beloved nation out of bondage. 24,
Umanisim Hagadolim Amafrasanim. From the day, great miracles that are well known. Ademode Banisim Hanistarim.
Person realizes that the baby crying, the wind blowing outside, the air that we breathe, are no less miracles. Of course, since they're veiled, we call them nature. But they're no less miracles than the great event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shehem Yisod HaTorah Kula. That is the foundation of the entire Torah. Yetzias Mitzrayim gives us the perspective, the proper understanding of life in general. Pesach happens only once a year, but it fuels our vision to see what we call nature as being no less miraculous than Pesach, than Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And it's very appropriate then that we end the entire Haggadah with Chad Gadya, which the Mefarshim tell us perhaps is a hint, a remez to the Galus, to Klal Yisrael first being in Mitzrayim, and then Chad Gadya, then to be taken over by one nation after another, till in the end, the Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, till Hashem comes and brings the ultimate salvation. It's not just a child's song. Not only a reminder of Jewish history, but a sign that we internalize the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem doesn't only do miracles once. Hashem does miracles for us every single day. Sometimes Yetzias Mitzrayim, and sometimes the Zaben Abba Bisrei Zuze, commerce, life itself, are no less miracles than Yetzias Mitzrayim. May we be zoche to a chag kosher v'sameach, an enriched, beautiful Seder, that we internalize these beautiful mitzvos and the lessons min anisim ha'gadolim ha'mefrasamim, from the great miracles ademode banisim anistarim. Person can admit, person realizes that everything is a miracle. So the great day that indeed we see shomrim hafkeid l'ircha, Yerushalayim has the watchman kol hayom, all day, v'chol halayla, and all night.